T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Raider Nation, I've got but two words for you. Playoff bound.
No doubt. I'm super pleased that we earned our way in. Very happy and proud about that.
Here's the field goal by Janikowski. 45-yarder from the right hash mark, his preferred hash mark, and he's got plenty of distance and right down the middle. Good.
Irving going to chase Rivers down from behind and get a sack.
There's Derek shotgun looking right. Going to lob one for the end zone for Crabtree. He caught it in bounds. No. Out of bounds. Perry's coming out from under the hood here. Touchdown Raiders
after
or not?
After doing the play, the right foot was down with clear possession. Then the foot, left foot was down with a slice of blue between the heel.
Touchdown. Touchdown Raiders. He gave it a touchdown. Here's Rivers back on second down. Flushed out, chased from behind, he got sacked! Back inside the 8-yard, the 10-yard line by Bruce Irvin. Fourth down, Raiders get this play stopped. In less than 15 yards, they will take over. San Diego will have one timeout remaining. Rivers back in his end zone, gets hit by Irvin from behind. Throws, intercepted by Reggie Nelson. Go down, Reggie, he wants to run it back. 20, 15, he dives down now and he goes down. The Raiders have got the game.
Derek will take one more shotgun snap from Rodney Hudson. One more kneel and the Raiders will count it down. It's like New Year's Eve and Dick Clark is here, coach. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The Raiders are in the playoffs.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation,
and I'll tell you what. Every day we come in here is a good time. We are very blessed to have this job, but it's days like this that make you realize just how lucky you are to be in this industry. 19-16 is your final from Qualcomm Stadium, a.k.a. the Coliseum South, as the Oakland Raiders advance to 11-3 on the season, 6-1 on the road, not counting the Houston road victory. And for the first time since 2002, the silver and black are back in the playoffs. What's up, everybody? Joe Fortenbaugh, Lorenzo Neal, and the guru in for Dan Dibley today, who will be back tomorrow. Guru, it's always good to see you. How you feeling?
I'm fired up. I feel like a cousin of the show. I got Lo Neal, Anna, Cody. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up.
How you feeling, big man? You
here, baby.
And we're going to get to this a little bit later, but you were calling Tennessee. You said it before the season started. You said it going into the game this weekend, and the Raiders took advantage of a slip-up.
No question, Joe. I told you guys all week, and you said it. I even texted you. I said, I told you, Joe, you'll end up loving Dick. Hit defensive coordinator, what he was
that
able
would be
to
LeBeau.
Do. Whatever he was able to do to that tight end. Told you he was going to take the tight end away. Kelsey, what, five targets, only 3 receptions. Dick LeBeau, when it comes down to defensive greatness, this guy is going to be on that Mount Rushmore.
We are absolutely loaded for you today on this special of occasions. Cam Worrell, good friend of the program, ESPN Radio in Fresno, 6-year NFL vet. He's coming up at 7:15. Lincoln Kennedy at 8. Marcellus Wiley at 9. Oh, a special in-studio appearance for what could be 45 minutes. Marquette King at 9:15.
The King is here.
He's going to hang out with us. And Sean Livingston from the Warriors. They just squeaked by Portland Saturday night by about 70. So we'll ask him, at what point did you realize you may have won that game? I guess it was before they got off the bus. But here comes your update.
That's right, Joe. I'm Anna Kukadagis. Now, for the first time since 2002, that's right, the Raiders are heading to the playoffs.
One more kneel, and the Raiders will count it down. It's like New Year's Eve, and Dick Clark is here, coach. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The Raiders are in the playoffs.
That was an ecstatic Greg Papa on 95-7 the game. Now, with that, the Raiders win and a Chiefs loss. The Silver and Black regain control of the AFC West. Kansas City falls to the 5th seed. And Titans, they took down KC 19-17. Hawaiian won it in the cold, fellas. kind of crazy. Patriots clinch and get a first-round bye after beating the Broncos 16-3. 49ers get crushed by the Falcons 41-13. Defense allowed 550 yards, and the Niners continue to get decimated by injuries. They lost Quentin Patton, Marcus Martin, and Blake Bell. Jaguars blew a 13-point lead as they fall 2-12 on the season and then fire their head coach, Gus Bradley. And this update is brought to you by your NorCal Honda dealers. Happy Honda days are almost over. Only a few days left to get your NorCal Honda dealer for magical deals on every model, including incredible leases on new Civics, Accords, and CRVs. For details, visit NorCalHondaDealers.com. And that's your update, fellas. I'm Anna Kagadakis, 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Anna. The last time the Oakland Raiders found themselves in the playoffs, gas across the country, $1.61 a gallon.
Woo!
The average cost of a new home in America, $228,000. Kelly Clarkson won American Idol.
Wow.
And Lance Armstrong won his fourth Tour de France. A young baller named Joe Fortenbaugh was getting ready to wrap up a less than legendary career at Penn State University, senior year. Lo Neal, you were playing in Cincinnati.
The Dirty Natty. Woo-hoo. Good God Almighty.
That's a year you'd probably like to forget.
Yes, sir.
Guru, what were you doing 15 years ago?
I was getting married.
Oh, my goodness.
Walking down the aisle.
Oh, Boo Boo Johnson. Yeah.
You've been married 15 years.
Yes, sir.
Scott!
Congratulations to the missus for tolerating it.
I don't know if she feels that way, but she's hanging in with me.
Come on. Mrs. Guru, we love you. To come full circle, it's got to feel like catharsis this morning for Raider fans and one Raider in particular, and that's Sebastian Janikowski. 4-for-4 in field goals yesterday. And an extra point, 13 of the Raider 19 points. The only Raider who was around in 2002, the last time this team went to the playoffs. And not only that, they locked up their first postseason berth on the same field where they were humiliated in the Super Bowl that year.
Wow.
Catharsis. It's an opportunity for Raider Nation to come out today. No matter what you think about how the game was played, no matter what you think moving forward, enjoy this day and savor it for what it is. You are finally back in the postseason.
Joe, I couldn't agree with you more when you just talk about the Raider and the Raider Nation itself too, the fans. To go through this, being the butt of a lot of jokes, being laughed at, and these fans, one thing about them, Joe, we've been there, we've been to that park, we've been out there tailgating with them. One thing we can say, consistency, loyalty, and a commitment to excellence. And now the Raiders, they're on the brink of chasing greatness to make sure they get in the playoffs and not just get in, but now they got to continue to chase that first round bye.
Guru, I have only lived here 2 years, very fortunate 2 years, but last time the Raiders are in the playoffs, that's the game Philadelphia should have been playing them. I remember that year for McNabb throwing that pick six late at Veterans Stadium. Rondé Barber runs it back. Tampa Bay advances to the Super Bowl, but I remember watching those Gannon teams all too well. Everything that took place. Lowe, while from nearby, was playing all over. He has the Bay Area ties, but he was in San Diego. He's in Cincinnati. He's in New Orleans, the Jets. I could just sit here and rattle off pretty much 30 NFL teams, couldn't I? But you,
right?
You've been here through all of it. You've been here through the ups and downs, and up until this season, it had been nothing but downs. What's this like today to see this?
I mean, it's special, and you got to give kudos to Mr. One Reggie McKenzie.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize they were trying to run him out of town because people didn't believe. But to piggyback off your point, I remember when the Raiders played and they were led by Rich Gannon, you knew when they stepped on the field, home or away, that they were the best team or one of the top two teams in the NFL, and you were going to see a dominant performance. You were going to see almost perfection, and then you forget that. You forget the good times because it's been bad for so long. And to see this team led by Jack Del Rio come out and clinch that spot and that Papa countdown, it's a special time to be a Raider.
How about Raider Nation just taking over Qualcomm Stadium yesterday? The projection was that it was 80% to 20% Raider fans, 68,352 in attendance, the largest attendance for a game at Qualcomm Stadium this season. Phillip Rivers said after the game, quote, "It was a road game. It was just like being in Oakland, except there were more people. The Chargers actually got rid of player introductions for a home game because they knew it wasn't going to work. And when they ran onto the field as a team, they got booed anyway."
It's crazy.
Raider Nation showed up for the biggest game of the year, and they were at their absolute finest.
I was watching a game on TV, and you could just hear the crowd when San Diego had the ball on third down, that place got deafening. You saw Raider Nation come out. You saw the players. You don't see it on the road where players are throwing their hands up and waving, get hyphy in here. The fans are hyphy. That was an amazing sight. Not for San Diego, but definitely for Raider fans.
Raider Monday is brought to you by Antioch Toyota. Go to AntiochToyota.com today and the Oaks Card Club. Well, we spent a little time reflecting. Now the fun begins. We can start looking ahead. The remaining schedule, the possible playoff positioning you'll be enjoying, and not only that, what happened in Kansas City yesterday to set the table for a remarkable NFL Sunday. It's Joe, it's Lo, it's the Guru, it's 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
If it was socially acceptable, I'd be drinking champagne right now.
Me too.
Celebration, baby. The holiday season's right around the corner. Think of it like this.
2002, Joe.
Think of it like this. There are still two games left to go in the season, and the Raiders have already locked up a playoff spot. They've already got 11 victories. I mean, and as I look to my right and I see the Guru, the one man on earth who said, you know what? I see it 13-3 this year. And people laughed. I looked at you. I was like, you're crazy, Guru.
They did more than laugh.
I was like, you're a year ahead of schedule. I want to touch on that in just a bit. But Monday after a Raider game, you know how we do it every week at this time.
It's time for Raiders on the 15.
Raiders on the 15, brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors and Windows, 19-16. That's your final. Lo Neal, you got to be feeling good today.
Oh, my God, am I feeling good. Joe, there's a particular play that said it's going to set not just the tone, but the outcome of this game. And it was big in the fourth quarter. Emerson on third down. Phillip Rivers is going to go back and think he has a wide open receiver. And Emerson says, I'm not yet. Hold the press. Not on my house. Let's hear it.
Play clock down to one. Rivers just gets it off. Looks left, now middle. Check down, circle route. Tackle shy of the first down as Emerson makes the tackle on Tyrell Williams. That time the Raiders were ready.
If you were betting on that game and you had the Raiders, you highlighted that spot just like you did, Lo Neal, because you knew what that meant late in the game. You needed that stop. You needed to get the ball back. Guru, welcome to Raiders on the 15s. Go ahead.
Bruce Irvin. I mean, when you talk about this Raider defense, it's been Khalil Mack. Mack this, Mack that. But Irvin was Mack light. It was a double team yesterday. He came in, closed it out with two sacks. And moving forward, if you give Mack this type of help, I mean, the sky is the limit for this defense, Lo. You know the playoffs are about to start. Feels good saying that. And defense travels if they got to go on the road. And if you give Mack help like Irvin did yesterday, sky's the limit, baby.
Raiders on the 15 brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. For me, if I'm highlighting a moment, and there are so many to highlight, it's the game-winning drive, Action Jack throwing the challenge flag to get that first down. Derek clearly. Now, the out-of-bounds thing, I couldn't tell. But with the reach, you knew if he hadn't stepped out, he got that first down. Spot comes up a bit short. CBS with a terrible camera angle, by the way. That's another rant. I'll get on it a little bit. CBS has not done a solid job this year with replay angles, with coverage of replays. There was a challenge earlier in the game. They went to commercial, and then they come back. It was on the Rivera catch that ended up being a drop.
Sure.
Just the coverage hasn't been good, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. Jack takes his time. He realizes he got three timeouts. He understands the situation. He didn't rush because he was getting the measurement. And you figure, you know what? This is as good a spot as any to throw a challenge flag. Good a spot as any because worst case, you got a timeout. You can get yourself focused on how you're going to play out the final few minutes. He throws the challenge flag. They review. Leads to a first down. Raiders end up running more time off the clock. End up scoring that game-winning field goal. That is an example of smart, astute coaching. What you saw in Kansas City yesterday, which set the table for the Raiders to reclaim the lead in the AFC West, was not smart, astute coaching. Here's how Kansas City, Tennessee wrapped up.
Standing on the arrowhead at Arrowhead. Brinkley to snap. Kern to hold. Snap. Set. Kick on the way. Good! Ryan Suckup has given the Titans a 19-17 win at Arrowhead.
Classic Andy Reid. I've been telling y'all about this for years, and every Philadelphia fan watched that game yesterday and just shook their head and said, told you, Kansas City, told you. This is what you're going to get. this is what you get in Andy Reid. You get a great regular season. You get a team that's balanced, a team that's pretty well disciplined. But when it matters most, there's going to be a mistake. And you saw that yesterday. Tennessee did everything they could to give that game away late. Mike Mularkey going for the two-point conversion. There's 3 minutes to play. What are you doing? Then after he misses it, he doesn't go for the onside kick. So you'll take the gamble on the two-pointer, but you won't take the gamble on the onside kick. Andy Reid and the Chiefs get the ball back, and this is classic Alex Smith as well. One timeout wins the game because Tennessee's got none. No stoppages left. And the Chiefs couldn't do it. They punted away. And then in vintage fashion, Andy Reid calls to ice the kicker, blows it,
he misses,
and Suckup comes back. There's a great debate out there about whether or not you should ice kickers. Some feel it's the stupidest move on earth. Some feel it can help mentally. That's for a conversation for another day. If you're going to ice the guy, ice him properly. Do not let him get the warm-up kick off.
Right.
Call the timeout so that they can't snap the ball and that Suckup just has to walk around out there, feeling the cold, thinking about it. Because when he gets the warm-up, much like in the divisional round the year the Seahawks lost to Atlanta, which is the year the Niners went into Atlanta and beat the Falcons in the NFC Championship game, Pete Carroll tried to ice, Bryant missed it, came back out, centered himself, knocked down the game winner. If you're going to ice him, you can't let him get the warm-up so he can calibrate himself low.
You're exactly right, Joe. When you're out there and you're playing golf and you get a warm-up putt and you say, let me see the line of this, and you putt it, you're like, I was joking around. Then you line up the second time, you usually make it because you know the speed, you know how hard you got to get it, the trajectory, and that's what happened yesterday. You saw Sucker. He didn't hit the first one. He just was a smooth kick. And he said, oh, my God, I'm a little short. The next one, Joe, he lays into it and is right on. So, Goo, you can't. I agree. You ice him before. Don't let him get that bat. Don't let him get that swing off.
Yeah, but I was listening to you guys Friday, Low, and outside of the Titan locker room, there was nobody picking the Titans. And I text Low Neal when he went on this show and said, the Titans are going to pull the upset. I said, Low, are you sure? And they go out there and get it done any given Sunday. Jamie Foxx, Al Pacino. And now the Raiders are in the driver's seat and control their own destination. There's nothing greater. Christmas has come early for the silver and black.
Beat the bookie, had Tennessee with the points. But you had been saying all week, Tennessee's going in there winning. Tennessee's going in there winning. You've been saying all
Look
season, this is a team that's been overlooked. And they're peaking at the right time, Lo.
They are. And the reason why with Kansas City, I just knew that when you look at Dick LeBeau and what he's been able to do just as a defensive coordinator, you saw at Pittsburgh how their offense and their defense isn't as good. Their defense, why? Because Dick LeBeau, he's a guy, I had him as a coach. I know he loves the 3-4, what he's able to get guys in position. And Dick would say, look, I'm going to let you beat me somewhere else, but he was not going to let the tight end beat him. You saw it, 14 points in the first quarter. And after that, the offense was stymied. Alex Smith couldn't get anything going. Tennessee penetrating. You knew that they were going to beat the tight up, beat Kelce up, and say, someone else is going to have to step up. Five straight games, this guy has over 100 yards. It's just not coincidence that they hold him for 40-some yards on five targets and only catching three. Dick LeBeau said, one guy is not going to beat us, and that's what they did with Kelce and dared someone else to beat him. And especially with that gauntlet running game, the two-headed monster, they kept pounding and kept pounding and kept pounding. And I'm telling you, they watched that Raider game and saw the Raiders. In spite of losing that game, the Raiders still could have won that game if they would have continued to run the ball against Kansas City.
Cuban Ron, I see you're on hold. We're going to come to you in the next segment. Cuban Ron and anyone else who wants to weigh in today. 888-957-9570. How you feeling, Raider Nation? It's been so long. Catharsis. They clinch it on the same field where they lost the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay, and Seabass has one of his best games of the season, the one guy who was on that roster back in the day. 888-957-9570. If you're the Raiders, you're feeling good. If you're another team that I'm thinking of and you just realized you flushed 30-plus million down the toilet, ooh, today is not a good one for you. That and so much more next. It's Joe, it's Lo, it's the Guru. 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
If you bet against the Browns and the 49ers in every single game they've played this season, you would be 23-4-1. That's it. Sometimes it's that simple. If you bet against the Browns and the Niners in every single game this season, 23-4-1. I'd like to give a special shout out to Kenny Rogers from Comcast. And I know he's listening right now. He's a big fan of the show, boys. Met him yesterday. As you know, at the end of last weekend of the weekend, we were moving up a floor in the apartment building. Had a situation with Comcast where I didn't set it up properly in terms of when I wanted to get the cable dialed up. That's neither here nor there. Kenny came by yesterday at the drop of a hat and got me all dialed up in a matter of minutes. Beautiful service.
Good looking, Kenny. Way to go, Kenny.
Papa's got his guy, Dale, that dials him up. I got Kenny. Thank you very much, Kenny.
Did that on a football Sunday?
Did it on a football Sunday, yeah.
Props to Kenny.
Yeah, last minute thing. Very much appreciated there. All right, welcome back. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Guru in for Dibs today. Cam Worrell coming up at 7:15. Ticket giveaway at 8:45. Marquette King in studio beginning somewhere around 9:15. No word on whether or not he's wearing a shirt this time around. Last summer it was just the jacket and the abs on full display. You've been through a lot, Raider Nation. And 49er fans, you're going through a lot this year. But imagine being in this situation yesterday afternoon. The Osweiler audio is what I'm throwing to there. There we go.
Osweiler in trouble. Steps up. Now throws. And it's intercepted again. Telvin Smith on the pick. The Jaguars have 3 interceptions all season. They had 2 in the first half.
Look at this. Osweiler is benched. Tom Savage is coming into the game, and the fans here in Houston go nuts.
Wow. That is a statement right there.
I just try to make decisions in the best interest of the team. Any decision that we make here is always made in the best interest of the team, and at that point in time, I just felt like that was the best decision at that point in time for the team.
4 years, $72 million, Loniel. $37 million guaranteed for Brock Osweiler. And you get to a point late in the season here with the playoffs on the line in a winnable game against Jacksonville, which Tom Savage came back to lead them to. And this is the situation Houston's in. They already have to throw in the towel on the Brock Osweiler experiment.
You have to. And I think that they're going to be sensitive and they'll probably go back with him this week and start him. But it's a you can't put a Band-Aid on a shotgun wound, Joe. He's just a Band-Aid. And we called it before the even year started. This was going to be one of the worst signings. You saw what Denver did. Denver had a defense that can win games yesterday. Was no exception to the rule. You give up 16 points and you lose a ball game. In the NFL, that's hard to do. Very hard to do. He fit the system. He had more weapons in that offense. And he had a defense he could rely on. Left to go to Houston, and now you got to go win some games because you don't have the defense, nor do you have the weapons offensively, nor do you have the running back by committee like Denver has, and he's called on to be an elite quarterback, and he doesn't have it. So 70-some million dollars, bad investment. And one thing I love about this coach here in Houston, Bill, that is he go ahead and he took initiative and said, I'm going to make an uncomfortable situation even more uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it on my watch because no matter what ownership – good, bad, or indifference. You may try to run me out after the year. I may not. But one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to do what I believe in and what's good for the team right now in this moment. And he took that gamble, Joe, and it worked out.
Guru, how bad a look is this for the Houston front office?
It's so bad, it should cost somebody their job in Houston's front office. Because it's not drafting a young guy hoping he pans out. It's almost like I need you to come into my office and explain to me what you saw that you wanted to invest this amount of money into Brock. I was watching that game, and when Savage came in, I felt bad for Brock because the fans were like, forget the score. We feel like we won because we don't got to watch this dismal display of quarterback play. And the funny thing about it is the Texans are still in it. They're still in it to get that ticket to the dance to, hey, if the pretty girl might take me, got to get to the dance for that to happen.
This is a perfect example. Houston and Minnesota, why you should be drafting a quarterback, at least one, every single year, and why you build that position through the draft. Sounds simple enough, but these are the mistakes that are made that cost people jobs far more so than you'll see in the NFL draft. Osweiler, we already laid out all the problems there. Sam Bradford, shut out at home during the first half of a game against one of the worst defenses in the league in the Indianapolis Colts. 4 years, $72 million with $37 million guaranteed for Osweiler. The Vikings gave up a 2017 first-round pick a 2018 fourth round pick, and they picked up a contract on Bradford, 2 years, $36 million, $26 million guaranteed. And what have they got? They've got captain checkdown. And as I say that, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, no, 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 Alex Smith is captain checkdown.
True.
No, he's not. Alex Smith, 7.05 yards per attempt. Dak Prescott, people say he checks it down too much, 7.93 yards per attempt. Sam Bradford, 6.9. 14 touchdown passes in 13 games this season. You do not acquire quarterbacks through free agency. Every year, take a shot. Dallas with Dak Prescott in the fourth round. Take your shots late and let them develop. Why? Because the criticism is far less when you fail with a draft pick rather than a free agent. With a draft pick, you'll have time. Look at Bortles in Jacksonville. Doesn't look like a good pick. How many years have they had with Bortles, though? How much time has he had? And it's cost effective. It doesn't cost nearly as much money to fail with a draft pick as it does with one of these free agents. People can look to Alex Smith and tell me that is a great signing. People can look to Carson Palmer and say, well, that's a free agent signing that had success. But ask yourself this, what's their ceiling? That's why they were available. Alex Smith couldn't pick up one first down yesterday when it mattered most to win the game. Carson Palmer, his ceiling, you see him in the big spots in the playoffs. He folds up shop faster than a cheap WWE folding chair, man.
Nice.
That's the situation. Every year, you've got to be going out there and targeting QBs because you build through the draft. Let's go back through the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning, people will say, well, the Broncos signed him. Manning was great right up until they won the Super Bowl. Go beyond Manning, and in reverse order, here are the quarterbacks who have won every Super Bowl this millennium. Russell Wilson, drafted. Flacco, drafted. Eli, drafted. Aaron Rodgers, drafted. Drew Brees, free agent. But that's because San Diego drafted a great quarterback in Phillip Rivers and had to make the switch. Ben Roethlisberger, drafted. Eli, drafted. Peyton, drafted. Ben, drafted. Brady. Brad Johnson in Tampa, 2003. Not drafted by Tampa, but how did they win that Super Bowl?
Defense.
Before that, it was Tom Brady, and before that, it was Trent Dilfer, who played 1 year in Baltimore and won the Super Bowl. That's the point. You've got to do it through the draft. And right now, every front office guy in Minnesota has got to be cringing because that Bradford deal looks horrible. And if you're in Houston and Rick Smith is around next year after making this deal with Brock Osweiler,
shouldn't be.
How do you justify keeping him around?
I don't think you can justify it. I think that Brock, they're going to have to just bite this one. It was a bad free agent signing. A lot of people knew it. And there's quarterbacks out there. If you look at the Tony Romos, certain guys that are out there, like you said, when the Drew Brees came up and the Chargers drafted Phillip Rivers, those guys were okay. You look at Bledsoe when he went around. Sometimes they go after free agents because they feel at that time their best to be able to compete. You don't overpay for them. You sit there, and like you said, Joe, it's best to go through the draft because of the fact you have those 4 years, that those 3 years, if they don't pan out, it doesn't cost you that huge money, the 70-some million dollars, with 40 or 50 of it guaranteed. I look at teams like the Denver Broncos this coming up year. I think that they're a team that can go after a free agent because they're so close. Like you talked about, even when Peyton was on the downside, their defense kept them in it. That's why when you look at certain teams, they look at their makeup and look where they're at. And that's why Houston said, we need to go get us a quarterback. That was the wrong guy to hit your wagon to. If I could see it, you could see it, and you could see it. What the hell couldn't the front office see it?
Everybody but Houston.
The guys getting paid to see it.
The head coach didn't even, he couldn't see it. He didn't see it. He was like, I don't want this guy. That reaction by that ownership in the front office deserves somebody to get fired.
You touch on a great point with Simeon. How much criticism is Denver getting for him this year? Some, not much. Because why? He's a cost-controlled young guy.
Yeah.
New York Jets are a perfect example. Criticism for Fitzpatrick.
Not Petty.
Everyone letting it go with Petty. Why?
Young.
A young guy. You know those things are going to happen. You can take the criticism. Sometimes this comes down to just a simple business move. You can struggle with Derek Carr. You can't struggle with Carson Palmer. People lose their jobs because it costs too much to acquire these guys. The expectations are too high. And more importantly, there's no patience because it's a veteran and he's expected to produce, whereas a rookie is given time. Cuban Ron, sorry, we're going to bump you to the next segment, but we will get to that phone call. That and, an NFL coach possibly traded. This could shake things up. That's next. Joe Lowe and the Guru, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
What a day. What a weekend. What a game. What a day. What an upcoming week. Joe Fortenbaugh, Lorenzo Neal, the guru in for Dan Dibley. We are Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. On this Raider Monday, brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet, drive a little, save a lot, as well as Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. Action packed today, Lincoln Kennedy at 8, Marcellus Wiley at 9, Marquette King in studio, may or may not be wearing a shirt this time around, we'll figure it out, 9:15, Sean Livingston, 9:45. As if it didn't get any better, JT the Bricks got Derek Carr at 10:45, Damon Bruce has action Jack Del Rio at 3:30, Draymond Green at 4:30, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr at 5. So the coaching carousel's in full swing, boys. The LA Rams got things started with the dismissal of Jeff Fisher about a week ago. And yesterday, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Brock Osweiler gets benched. The Jaguars blow the lead. Blake Bortles shows you never go full Blake Bortles in these situations. They donk it off. Gus Bradley fired out in Jacksonville after a record that, I mean, it was Kotite-esque. I don't even think Rich Kotite was that bad back in the day. But he's gone. Interesting nugget here, Guru. Fired after the game, but told if he wants to, he can get on the team charter and still fly back with them. Would you have flown back with the team after being fired?
Yes, I would have flew back. Because those are my teammates, guys, friends, guys I built relationships with. And I didn't like this narrative to where, if a team's on the road and they fire the coach, he needs to find his way home. I would have got on that plane with my head up, looked at the guys, wished them good luck moving forward. No, we didn't get the job done, but I'm part of this team with you all, and I'm glad he went on the plane ride home. I would have. There's no way I wouldn't have not went, because then I would have been like, you know what? I'm ashamed and I'm defeated, which is still actually true, but I'm riding back.
Lo, you getting on that plane?
Yeah.
You get out of a job. You can't afford your own flight, right?
Right, absolutely. And the thing about it, you got to realize, what are you going to do? Go spend the money to go get another flight? I'm not going to spend freaking $2,000 freaking to go jump on a plane. I mean, it's day of. Shoot, your stuff's on the plane. You got your bag. Your bag's at your car, still at the facility. You get on the plane. You ride back. You go to the office, grab a bunch of some of your important stuff. And then the next day, you come back and you clean it out. Tell everyone thanks and be kick rocks.
This kind of leads us into today's Take Your Pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. You can find it on our website, 957thegame.com. Which of the following NFL head coaching jobs would be the most attractive? Two dominoes have fallen. LA is open now that Jeff Fisher's gone. Jacksonville is open now that Gus Bradley's gone. We've got two others on the list. San Diego, because we feel Mike McCoy is going to be out. And Cincinnati, because Marvin Lewis, at least he used to get to the playoffs.
He's got
this
some pitches,
year,
Joe.
He just blew a 20-6 home lead late in the second quarter against division rival Pittsburgh on your home turf. That's the game that gets a guy fired at the end of the year. Lo, I'll kick it over to you to start. Which of those four positions, L.A., Jacksonville, Cincinnati, or San Diego, would be the most attractive for a potential head coach candidate?
Well, I tell you, if you say the most just like attractive far as just bells and whistle, it's L.A. or San Diego, because both those two teams being L.A., second largest media market in the world. But if you're talking about just the team, if I want to go and it's set up, that everything, the cabinets is full and the drawers are full and the cupboards are not bare, it's friggin' the Cincinnati Bengals. Perfect. That linebacker, he can get after, he can play. You got defense, you got offense. They need a leadership type of guy, a guy that can go in there and demand excellence and put those guys and hold them in accountable light. Cincinnati Bengals, the right coach coming there, they're Super Bowl contenders right now.
Do you feel Marvin Lewis will be out at the end of the year?
Yes.
Guru,
absolutely.
Of the four choices, L.A., Jacksonville, Cincinnati, San Diego, what's going to be the most attractive for a head coaching
right
candidate?
Now to me, and I'm on that Cincinnati train, but I'm going to go L.A. You got studs all over the defensive unit for the Rams. You got a young, hopefully franchise quarterback in Goff. If whoever the coach is can go there and get him set up. He's got arm talent. You got a franchise running back in Gurley. It's L.A., Los Angeles. They have not had football in forever. And if you're the guy that does the Jack Del Rio in L.A. and turn that franchise into a winner, you'll be a god right away. So to me, right now, it's L.A. You're going into that new beautiful, what do you even want to call it? It looks like something out of, I don't know, it's just amazing, a castle that they're about to start playing their Sunday football games in. And the cabinets are not bare in regard to that Ram defense. I mean, studs like Donald, Ogletree, I mean, it's attractive to me.
Gurley on offense. You just need to develop a quarterback. Cuban Ron, you've waited so long, much like Raider fans waiting to get back to the playoffs, Cuban Ron waiting all morning to get on the show. I apologize. The floor is yours, sir. Good morning. How are you?
What's up, guys, man? Appreciate it. Hey, I'm listening anyway, man. Long commute. Hey, it has been a long wait. Number one, I got to say, playoffs, baby. Playoffs, that's right. We've been waiting a long time for this. You have no idea. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I've been a Raider fan since I was a kid. I got pictures of me with a puffy little vest as a little small kid. I got pictures of me with me and my pops before he became a stupid Niner fan before they left. I got pictures of me and my daughters. Now my daughters are in college. And now they finally get to see what it's all about.
Keep
I
living.
Took them to the games when they're finally over 10. I'm going to tell you, one thing we have leadership. But Jack Del Rio has done a fabulous job of taking control of this team. We've had the players in place for a minute, but to do what he's done, put the pieces in place, has meant a lot. I'm going to tell you another thing. Janikowski, man, I was worried when I saw that ball waving. But, hey, he's been there since the beginning. He's the man. I've got so many jerseys in my closet. Man, we went through Jamarcus Russell. We went through Palmer. Man, I'm back in the days with Mark Wilson. Come on, man. Traitor. Come on, man. We're ready.
Cuban,
we're ready for this. We are not done. We have just begun.
Let me ask you something
right now,
before you hang up.
I'm going to go all the way.
Cuban Ron, don't hang up. I want to ask you something. Yesterday, as that clock's ticking down and you realize you're heading back to the playoffs, what emotions are you feeling?
Man, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to be honest with you, man. A tear ran down my cheek. My wife laughed at me. She said, wait, what's wrong with you? I said, baby, you have no idea. I said, so much blood, sweat, and tears have been put into this. I mean, my tailgate group, Convoy, God bless you all. We've been there from little tiny Weber. Now we're like 6 grills, 5 tents. I mean, he was part of the tailgate challenge. I mean, you have no idea what we put into this. I mean, I've grown as a man with the Raiders. You know what I mean? I was a boy when I became a Raider fan. I'm an adult man now, and now everybody around me sees it. It's part of me. You know what the best part about it is, guys? I'm going to tell you this right now. I drive down in my car. I got my Raiders sticker on like always. I put a Raiders sticker on all my daughter's car. You know what they said? Dad, people are honking and waving at me. We go to a store. Neighbors and friends that I haven't talked to in years, we're hugging and screaming it out. I was in Safeway line. We're hugging it out because, hey, we all buying beer for the Raider game, baby. Here it goes. Come on now. You already know, man. We're going to do this. We are Super Bowl destiny. Destiny is ours. I'm so excited, guys. You have no idea. And you guys have been a great part of it. Thank you, 95.7.
Cuban Ron, thank you so much, not only for the call, but for staying on hold that long. We appreciate it. The phones are open today, Raider fans. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. What's it feel like? All the years that you had to gut through, the Jamarcus Russell era and everything else that happened, now you've got a chance to celebrate. Catharsis. I talked about it earlier. Janikowski, the only player around from that 2002 team. Yesterday, 4-for-4. With an extra point, 13 of the 16 points were his, including the game winner. And how just amazing is that feeling that the last time they were in the playoffs, they lost to Tampa on that field at Qualcomm. And they were able to clinch their spot on Qualcomm how many years later? 888-957-9570.
No, Janikowski is one of the greatest things to happen to the Raiders, but in his era, you know, outside of that, you know, the Super Bowl, he hasn't had anything to get excited about. And to be a big part of them clinching the playoff spot yesterday was a beautiful thing. And now let's hope that this run will culminate in a Super Bowl championship ring as opposed to the last time they went down there. You mentioned that. That was one horrific Super Bowl that I know they want to forget. So it's all good right now in the hood, in Raider Nation. And if they can get some guys back, Edward Jr., possible, Alden Smith maybe. I mean, man, gelling at the right time defensively, it looks like to me.
Well said. We'll be back on the Raiders in about 4 minutes here. But I wanted to touch on this story because we were talking about possible destinations for head coaching candidates. Jason LaConfora, CBS Sports, reports yesterday. New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton, available via trade, much like he was last year. But the report is, and presumably this is the Saints floating this to get the ball moving, it's not going to take a whole lot to get him out of there. You're not going to need to give up a big bounty. They just gave him a monster contract extension last year that pays him about $8 million per. He's the highest paid coach in the league. Might be tied with somebody, but he's up there at the top of the heap. But what's happening? Drew Brees is reaching the end of his career. The Saints haven't done a good job of managing the salary cap. It's another lost season. Some feel that it's time to move forward and that they'd be willing to trade Sean Payton to get out from underneath that contract. How appealing of a candidate is Sean Payton?
I think Sean Payton is a very appealing coach that's candidates out there. I mean, you put Sean Payton, honestly, L.A., you say L.A., but then he's got to develop a new quarterback. I get that, a young quarterback, got some talent there. San Diego, you got a veteran quarterback in Phillip Rivers. Their defense seems to be starting to make the right decisions and getting better, but you still need receivers. You still need some things there. You put Sean Payton in Cincinnati with A.J. Green, the receivers they have, the defense that they have. They're winning. They're AFC. They will, to me, they would be right there at the top of the AFC. That's how talented this Cincinnati Bengal team is.
I'd say buyer beware here, because I know there are Niner fans that are going to be excited. I see the point you're making. If I'm looking at Sean Payton, I better have a dome and a fast track, because otherwise I want no part of it. That's where he's won. He's won with teams built for playing indoors on fast tracks. Quick precision routes, deep down the field, speed. Everything about the way he coaches that team, the way he builds that team, is set up for an indoor stadium. You've got to understand your weather, your stadium, your turf. That's the biggest mistake Cleveland's made over the last decade plus. They draft a lot of southern, fragile quarterbacks. Look at some of these guys. Colt McCoy, Brandon Whedon. They have RG3 there now. No.
Yeah.
The AFC North is built and run by guys like Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco. Those are the guys. Big, outdoors, physical. Flacco played at Pitt in Delaware. Big Ben at Miami, Ohio. That's what you need in a quarterback in that division. Payton, if you need it, got Indianapolis. Andrew Luck, indoors, fast track, easy division, that's a spot for him. But I think if you're going to trade for Payton, it's got to be a dome team guru.
And what about the Saints? They haven't had, they've been the Aints for a while.
Yep.
They haven't had any D under Payton's watch since the Super Bowl. So I know it's a sexy name, Lo, but if you can't take care of your own backyard, why would I go out of my way to do something ridiculous to acquire your services when I'm looking at your team just wallow in mediocrity right now? What's wrong with the Saints? They have had no defense in forever under your watch. I'm talking about Sean Payton. So shame on you.
Salary cap.
It's sexy.
Salary cap. Breeze takes up a huge chunk. They gave a bunch of money to Jarius Bird from Buffalo, and they never got anything out of that. They made some poor decisions there. That's the situation we're in. More on that later, but Raider Nation, you're going to be up next. 888-957-9570. It's a day of celebration. Don't go anywhere. We're back in a minute. Joe Lowe and Guru, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.